This is Columbia, CBS. From border to border, from east to west, you've learned your dials and how to twist them when you twist them with the Columbia system. Week after week, year after year, here's where you hear what you want to hear. Question this statement? Stick around. This is the biggest show in town. Broadcasting System and its affiliated stations present Stars in the Afternoon, a 90-minute preview of the biggest show in town, which again this year is yours for the dialing over the 159 CBS stations from coast to coast. In the next hour and a half, you'll hear Jimmy Durante and Gary Moore, the Family Hour with Patrice Munsell and Jack Smith, the Thin Man with Claudia Morgan and Les Damon, Bob Hawke, Blondie with Dagwood and Hanley Stafford, Hokey Carmichael, Ralph Morgan for the Screen Guild Players, Vaughn Monroe and his music, House Jameson as the Crime Doctor, American Melody Hour with Bob Hannon and the Knightsbridge Choir, Stats Cotsworth as Casey, Crime Photographer, It Pays to Be Ignorant with Tom Howard, George Shelton, Harry McNaughton, and Lula McConnell, Howard Duff as Sam Spade, Gene Hirschholt as Dr. Christian, Ann Southern as Maisie, Peter Lynn Hayes, Paul McGrath as host of The Inner Sanctum, and William Keeley presents Virginia Bruce for Lux Radio Theater.
Let's go!
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, who is this?
This is Dinah Shore. To whom am I speaking, please?
Frank Sinatra.
Who?
Frank Sinatra.
Would you spell it, please?
S-I-N-A...
What was the first letter?
S. S as in sweetheart.
As in what?
Sweetheart. S-W...
S what?
W. W as in wife.
I didn't get that last word. I'm so sorry.
Wife, Dinah. W-I-F...
W-I what?
F as in fool.
As in what?
Fool. F-double-O-L.
Double-O what?
L. L as in left. L-E-F-T.
Oh, well, I'm sorry I didn't catch the last letter.
T as in town.
Brown. Brown.
Town, you know, Dinah, like city.
Like what?
City. C-I-T.
What was that first letter again, please?
C. C as in come.
D as in dumb?
Yes, no, I mean no. As in come. C-O.
C what?
O as in over.
Oh, over.
Now you've got it.
Shall I read it back?
Read what back?
Sweetheart, fool wife left town, come over.
Will you pull yourself together, kid?
To whom is the telegram going, please?
Dinah, will you quit gagging? I'm a wreck.
A wreck? Oh, it's Frankie. Well, see, this is a coincidence. I was just going to phone you.
No wonder you didn't know who I was.
Say, did you hear that list of big CBS names that are going to be on the Columbia Network in the next hour and a half?
Nats, and I got news for you, hey.
There's one name missing.
Yeah.
Mine.
Mine.
That's what I'm calling you about. Yeah. Since you and I are on Columbia every Wednesday night.
Yeah, we ought to knock a couple of songs for him this afternoon. Something like, they say that falling in love is wonderful.
It's wonderful, so they say.
See, that's the idea. They can't leave you out of that show,
they can't
Dinah.
Leave you
get
out of that show,
get your hat and I'll
Dinah.
Meet you down at Columbia
okay,
Broadcasting.
Frank.
We'll talk personally to Mr. Sisson.
Okay, I'll see you in a minute.
Good afternoon, Columbia Broadcasting, Mr. Sisson's office. This is Greta, his secretary, speaking. Now, Mr. Sisson is very busy.
Pardon me, miss.
Well, what can I do for you two?
We'd like to see Mr. C.B. Sisson.
Oh, well, he's too busy to see anyone. Come back next week.
But we're a couple of singers, and we...
Come back next year.
Look, sister, Would you believe me if I told you this girl is Dinah Shaw and I'm Frank Sinatra?
Look, brother, would you believe me if I told you I'm Greta Garbo?
Would it get us in to see Mr. System if we did?
What do you think?
Pleased to meet you, Miss Garbo.
Go right in. Gee, I wonder if I do look like Garbo.
Yeah. Mr. System?
Yeah, my friends call me CB.
Hello. How do you do? My name is...
We've long introductions out of this. I'm a very busy man with very little time. Well, with having to stop every half hour to tell people what station they're whistling to. If they didn't know. What's your problem?
Well, briefly... Mr. S., we sing.
And we thought maybe you could use a little romantic warbling on that show.
Romantic warbling?
Yeah, listen. I want you to know this little girl here. She's Dinah, and there's nobody finer from the coast to Catalina.
A Frank Sinatra, open your golden trunk.
Gee, thanks, Dinah. Together we'd knock out a rather fair romantic ballad.
Sure.
Sorry, but right now I'm in the mood for waps.
You haven't heard me sing.
I haven't time to experiment. Right now I want to listen to Jimmy Durante and Gary Moore.
That's a boy and a girl.
Silence. Just listen.
Yes, my friends, it's the nose and the haircut. And to start the ball rolling, we bring you, with no strings attached, a young man who has a voice like a violin, with no strings attached. And here he is, Gary Moore.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much, Bob Lamond. Thank you. Thank you very much. Oh, really, that's enough applause now, really. Thank you. Thank you. Mr. Pismo, that's enough. You can turn the record off now. Turn the record off, Mr. Pismo.
Really, Mr. Pismo, it's a shame your parents weren't the type to devour their young.
But in any event, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and a very happy September the 22th to you all. I want you to know it's a real kick to be celebrating another great season of CBS programs. Of course, I haven't been on the air since CBS started, but I have been in radio since 1935, fixing battery sets and things like that. And it's always a thrill to see how radio has grown up in that time. Gee whiz, you take this magnificent studio here, for instance. Do you realize that at this very moment, ladies and gentlemen, you are sitting in washed air? I really mean that. If you look up there, you'll see some little grates on the front of the studio. You see up there? Well, Mr. William Paley, the president of the Columbia Broadcasting Company, sits up in there during the whole program and washes each piece of air that comes into the studio. And it's not only cool in here, it's clean, too. Well, they tell me that nowadays, particularly this studio, is completely antiseptic. We have germ-proof microphones, hermetically sealed control rooms, sterilized musicians, and before every program, we boil the announcers. You've got to admit that's a lot better than having announcers go out and get boiled on their own. Or is it?
Oh, come now, Gary. You haven't really been in radio as long as you like to make out.
I haven't, Bob. Why, bless your little station identification. I started out at the age of 19 as a singer with a very famous quartet. You've heard of Hilo, Jack, and the Dame?
Yes.
I sang with Mo, Joe, Schnook, and the Boy.
Gary, you were the boy?
I was the Schnook. It was a great outfit, as I recall it. We appeared for 8 straight weeks in the Rose Room of our local livery stable. We were right in there pitching.
Well, Gary, tell me one thing more.
Uh-huh.
Gary, you may have been in radio for 11 years, but did you have any sponsors?
Sponsors? Why, Bob, don't be ridiculous, you louse. My first sponsor, as I recall it, was a really delightful little product called Mother Marie's No Wheeze, but Plenty of Breeze Cheese. The great little thing was the only cheese I've ever seen that was so strong the mice had to back into the trap. As I recall it, Bob, Mother Marie's No Wheeze, but Plenty of Breeze Cheese came to you in 6 delicious flavors. Super delicious, very delicious, plain delicious, fairly delicious, not so delicious, and
It was a very, very, very happy association.
Okay, so that covers local radio, but how did you get to be a star?
Well, Bob, that was just plain luck. I was holding down a very poorly paid job in New York at the time. I was master of ceremonies in a jukebox. When fate leaned down and slugged me on the head with a golden wand. At least I thought it was a wand until I looked up, and surely enough, it was the nose himself, the one and only Jimmy Durante.
Now, even when things go wrong, why, you feel better, you even look better. Stop the music, stop the music, stop the music. I refuse to work on the same stage with an orchestra that looks so untidy.
Jimmy, what do you mean? What's so untidy about the orchestra?
There's a hair in that fiddle player's bow that hasn't been combed. That's the essence of social barbarism.
Anyhow, I'm glad you made it to the show on time, Schnoz.
And I'm glad to see you too, Junior. You're so tried and true. So brave and blue. So lum and abner. But Garrison, what a hectic time I had getting ready for this appearance.
Yeah?
I was sitting at home the other night, wearing my diving suit. You see, I have a sunken living room.
No.
When I get the call from the president of CBS, he says, Durante, we'd like you to appear on our all-star show, if you think you're educated enough.
Oh, he didn't, Jim. What did you say to that?
What could I say? To impress him with my intelligence, I nonchalantly spelled out cat. K-A-T-E.
K-A-T-E, but Schnoz, that spells Kate. Kate is a girl's name.
I happen to know this cat better than you do, Mr. Moore. But anyway, no sooner do I accept the invitation to appear than I'm surrounded by a quandary. I haven't got a suit that's fit to wear to the broadcast.
Uh-oh.
So early this morning, Junior, I runs around to my tailor, Rimsky Rappaport.
Rimsky Rappaport, I said.
And I says, Rappaport, you got to make me a suit within 3 hours. So he went to work with a vengeance.
Well, the suit looks wonderful on you, Jim, but what's that lump in the back?
That's Rappaport. He's still working. Don't come out, Rimsky. You're not allowed in here without a ticket.
Well, in any event, Giacomo, I'm glad you made it. And now that you're here, what are we going to do on this auspicious occasion?
Well, Junior, I thought maybe we could do something high class and classical. Something like the shampoo song from the Barber of Schlemiel.
It's all very fancy schmancy, but really, old boy, do you think you're equipped?
Are you joshing, Junior? I'll admit I didn't always know about music. Why, when I was 7 years old, I couldn't tell a trombone from a hole in the wall. So I studied and studied for 10 years, and now...
Yes?
I'm the only man in the world... Say that again.
I said, yes. Will you please bring Mr. Durante the script with a neon typing on it, please?
Just a minute.
You said we were 7 years old.
You know, they can make mistakes in a script department. Are you Josh and Junior? I'll admit I didn't always know about music.
You did.
Why, when I was 7 years old, I couldn't tell a trombone from a hole in a wall. So I studied and studied for 10 years, and now...
Yes?
I'm the only man in the world who can play a hole in a wall.
Congratulations.
After I changed it, it sounded a little better. I'm ashamed of you, partner. Why, you're talking to a man who's got music in his blood. Which explains why my nose is shaped like a G-clef.
Well, that's all very well, Jim, but offhand, I can't recall any classics that are arranged for a hole in the wall. That means that we'd have to sing today, and that, you know, is out.
Well, not of a necessary. I told you I got music in the blood, and I had. My uncle was a famous basso, and my aunt was a soprano.
Mezzo?
She certainly was, but she had a fine voice.
Well, I'll tell you what, Jim, if you insist on music, you sing by yourself. Meanwhile, I shall retire to the outskirts of Finland and listen for the finish.
That's what I like about... That's what I like about my boy. He's got so much faith in me. But I never let an audience down. Maestro, music for that radio concert, the butte of that enamored barrel tone, James Durante. My song for tonight, Chloe.
Yo! Ladies and gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, I should like to announce, as long as I'm here anyway, I should like to announce that Mr. Durante has sung this song many times before, but tonight he has had his nose lifted so that those of you in the balcony may hear him too. Carry on, James.
Mr. Moore, you can let the audience draw its own concussions. We begin again, Maestro Gluskin.
Ladies and gentlemen, I forgot to tell you, but after tonight's performance, Mr. Durante will also be available for fish fries, weenie roasts, and the unveiling of better class manhole covers. Excuse me, Jeff.
I wouldn't interrupt again if I was you, partner. That slab will lead to a fruit. We begin again, Maestro Gluskin.
Just one other thing, friends. I forgot to tell you that Mr. Durante's selection today is entitled Chloe. Okay, Jim.
My boy is tinkering with immediate oblivion. We'll begin again, Maestro Gluskin.
Okay. Jim, what's the matter?
It's no use, Junior. I'm a failure.
Why, Jim? What's wrong?
Now I can't remember the first word. Now, Willie, wasn't that terrific? That's what radio listeners really want.
Well, Dinah and I agree with that, Mr. System.
Sure we do, but what about romantic music?
No, WAP.
But everybody doesn't want to laugh. Sometimes people would like to hear a boy and a girl sing.
You know a little bit about a lot of things.
But you don't know enough about us.
For people who like music, we got things like the Family Hour.
The Family Hour?
Yeah.
What about the boy and girl who still haven't raised a family?
They can listen, too. Listen and learn. I'll get the Family Hour now. So you listen.
Yes.
Good afternoon. This is Frank Gallup welcoming you to the Family Circle. Again, the curtains are drawn back on the family at home, and you're invited to share with us a typical Sunday afternoon musical vignette. Accompanied by Al Goodman and his famous orchestra, Patrice Munsell sings Sempre Libre from La Traviata, and Jack Smith and the male chorus sing Fica Pulpa.
Rica pulpa de tamarindo. La creo yo tengo, pero en su tablero para vender. Pulpa, rica pulpa, es mi pulpa más sabrosa que la miel.
Pulpa,
la pulpa de unos labios que curaron mis agravios. Con mi pulpa soy mi cantera, endulzando yo la paetera con azúcar de mi pulpa. Rica pulpa, que es tan dulce como besos de mujer.
Pulpa, rica pulpa.
Ay, casarita rica pulpa de tamarindo por iné.
Rica pulpa,
es mi pulpa más sabrosa que la miel, igual la pulpa.
Pulpa, rica pulpa,
rica pulpa, que es tan dulce como besos de mujer.
Pulpa, rica pulpa.
Ay, casarita, dime, mira, me sigues bonita, consentida, deje ser. Y pulpa, rica pulpa, como besos de...
Thank you. giorno moglio, sempre lieta ne ritrovi.
Wasn't that wub we?
Yes, it was. We wubbed every minute of it, didn't we, Dinah?
Absolutely.
Now, now, about a boy and girl singer in a romantic little interlude.
Yeah.
For instance, I say to Dinah...
Yeah.
Love is the only thing.
The one and only thing.
Yes, Mr. S. Love is a song and smiles and kisses and laughter floating on long, lazy dreams.
If you think that's what wub means, Mr. Sinatra, you should listen to Blondie.
Blondie?
Huh?
Blondie got to do with love and romance.
Miss Shaw, the whole story of Blondie and Dagwood started on a long, lazy dream. But love isn't all peaches and cream. Love is learning to ways with two kids together. Real love is like this.
I'm right here.
Yes, I see you. Hey, what are we having for dinner tonight, honey?
Sauerkraut.
Oh, my.
And kiss me first and ask about dinner later.
Yeah.
After all, which is more important, me or sauerkraut?
Yeah, well, Blondie, I ought to kiss you first just the same.
Well, I should hope so.
Yeah.
Dagwood. Tell me, did you get Mr. Ditters to give you that raise?
What raise is that?
The one you didn't get yesterday.
Yes, that one.
Yes, that one. You know, Mr. Ditters has been promising you for ages. Well, didn't you ask him? What happened?
Well, he saw me coming, and before I could ask for a raise, he asked me if I would be willing to take a cut.
Oh, Dagwood. Hello, Daddy. Did you get the raise?
No, I didn't, Cookie.
Oh, gee, Daddy. I was counting on you.
Yeah.
I guess I'll have to wear these same old ribbons in my hair.
I tried, Cookie. I tried.
But you told Alexander and me that a Bumstead could do anything that was humanly possible.
Well, Mr. Ditters isn't human, so it isn't possible.
Oh, Dagwood, we really need that raise. Things are so high in the stores, I must have more grocery money.
And I ought to have more loans. It's terrible what I have to pay for bubble gum.
Okay. This time I'm going to be tough with Mr. Ditters.
Good.
Tomorrow morning I'm going to demand that raise.
Demand nothing. You're going down there and ask for it like a man.
Who is it?
It's Dagwood Bumstead, your valuable and brilliant assistant.
Come in, BB Brain.
Good morning, Mr. Ditters.
No comments. Well, Bumstead, what's on that tiny, tiny thing we loosely refer to as your mind?
Mr. Giddings, I want you to give me...
My answer is no.
But, Mr. Giddings, you didn't even know what I was going to say.
I heard you say give, and that was enough for me.
How do you know I wasn't going to ask you to give me permission to introduce you to a gorgeous girl who's dying to be your secretary, huh?
Oh, well. Go ahead and ask me that.
Okay. Mr. Giddings, I want you to give me permission to ask you...
Huh?
...to give me a raise.
Bumstead. Oh, that awful cackle. You sound like the mating call of a Rhode Island wren. Now get back to your desk.
Mr. Giddings, I want to discuss that raise.
Bumstead, you're going back to your desk.
Oh, no, I'm not.
Oh, yes, you are.
Oh, no, I'm not.
Oh, yes, you are.
Oh, yes, I am.
Oh, no, you're not. Bumstead, cut that out. You get back to your desk or I'll run your little finger through the pencil sharpener.
Mr. Giddings, there are other construction companies who are looking for good men.
That has nothing to do with you.
Yeah. And if I don't get that raise, I'm going to quit.
Oh. So you'd quit. You'd run off on me for a few paltry dollars. Yeah. All covered with germs.
Yeah.
That's all you care for, poor old Dithy.
Oh, now, wait a minute, Mr.
After
Dithy.
After the way I've treated you, too. Why, the Dithy's company has been like a mother to you. Just like a mother. And I've watched over you and helped you along and tried to do my best for you. And this is the gratitude I get.
Well, I'm sorry, Mother. Mr. Dithy.
I thought you were the one person whose loyalty I could count on.
Yes. Well, you can, Mr. Dithy. Okay. I don't need that raise.
Oh, Dagwood. Dagwood, old friend.
Mr. Giddings, can I let you have a little money?
Let's not overdo it, buddy. Oh, come in.
Mr. Giddings, I've been listening outside the door, so let's get back to that raise again.
Blondie, please. Dagwood and I were discussing this on a very high plane.
Blondie, I didn't know you were out there.
Well, Dagwood, I don't think Mr. Giddings realizes how much we need the money. Come on in, Cookie, and say hello to Mr. Giddings.
Hello, Mr. Dizzy.
Why, hello, Cookie. Why, the child's in rags. She's wearing nothing but rags.
Well, that's right, Mr. Dizzy.
And it's getting cold, too, Mr. Dizzy.
And we don't feel that Dagwood's asking too much, Mr. Dizzy.
Nothing but rags. Why, this is shocking. Bumstead, you should have demanded that I give you a raise. Oh, you coward. You should have choked me until I gave you the money you needed.
Well, if you insist, just put your neck right in
here. No. I'll give you the raise without the massage. Now go out and get some decent duds for this poor child.
Thank you, J.C. Well, good. Come on, Blondie and Cookie. Come on.
Oh, Mr. Giddings, thank you so very much.
Thank you, Mr. Giddings.
It's all right, but the name is Dithers.
Yes, Mr. Giddings.
Now get those clothes.
Oh, yes, sir. Hey, Blondie, what is this?
Well, Mr. Giddings tried a sob story on you, so I tried one on him. And I got the raise, didn't I?
Yeah, but where did we get these clothes Cookie's wearing? Where'd they come from?
Oh, I'm taking her to a costume party, and fortunately, she decided to go as Raggedy Ann.
Great, Mr. System, great. Just peachy dandy.
Yeah, Frank and I agree with you that that's love, but we stand for romance. We stand for dreams. We stand for stardust.
Would you stand for Hoagy Carmichael?
Hoagy's
one
of
my better friends.
Of course, here's Hoagy Carmichael at the piano.
Well, what do you know?
Hi, everybody. Frank and Dinah and a deep bow to that old CB system. You know, this is sort of a personal preview for me because, well, just 4 weeks from this Sunday afternoon, I'll be right here on this network, sitting where I like to sit most, at the piano, with Georgia on my mind. Georgia.
the whole day through. Just an old sweet song keeps Georgia on my mind. Georgia on my mind. Each day, Georgia, my honey, a song of you comes as sweet and clear as moonlight through the pines. Other arms reach out to me. Other eyes smile tenderly. Still in peaceful dreams I see the road leads back to you, my pretty Georgia, beautiful Georgia. No peace I'd find, just an old sweet song keeps Georgia on my mind.
Loved every minute of it, Hoagie, didn't we, Dinah?
You speak for me, Frank.
Shh, please, silence.
Silence? Why?
I'm listening for my cue.
What cue?
Every half hour, I tell the listeners what network they're listening to.
Why?
Why? I don't know. It's a rule in radio.
You mean you're the man who...
No, don't say it, don't. You'll rouse up the network. You'll ruin me. I gotta wait for my cue. Now, listen.
Stars in the Afternoon. A preview of the biggest show in town will continue for another full hour after a brief pause for station identification. Come in, Mr. System.
Yes, sir. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Oh, Mr. System, you were just wonderful.
Oh,
I just heard what network it was. Oh. I heard you just as plain as if I were in the next room, which I was.
Oh, you were.
The switchboard is simply flooded with calls.
Oh,
you're being deluged with compliments,
well,
showered with praise. You're the reigning favorite.
I get it. He's all wet.
Yuck! Now, let me see. Where was I?
I'll tell you where you were, Sisty, old boy. You were just about to put Dinah and me on your all-star show.
And as we said, what your show needs, CB, is romance.
Why?
Why?
How about this? How do you like this?
Yeah.
That's a swell reading. A guy who asks why the world needs romance. What kind of a world would it be without a boy somewhere singing to a girl, I'll be loving you always.
With a love that's true always.
Well, I hope you'll be very, very happy. Please, excuse me now. I got...
Now, look, creep. Without romance, there'd be very little to live for in this world. Romance is the very heart of all world progress. All dreamer.
You can't tell me anything about dreamer. We have the best on CBS. Why, when Monday night rolls around, I can hardly wait to hear this familiar theme.
Take it away.
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls? This is Ralph Morgan, Vice President of the Motion Picture Relief Fund, reminding you that the music you hear in the background is the theme of our Screen Guild Players. We're extremely proud of it. When the Screen Guild Players went on the air, it was only natural that we should choose motion picture music for our signature. The main theme from the Warner Brothers picture, Four Daughters. We like to think that the Screen Guild Players program has given this melody a wider life under the title Symphony Moderne. Dream Guild Players production was introduced to the radio audience 7 years ago. More than 350 famous stars and featured players have given their services and contributed their talents to this program. By doing this, they have helped to build and maintain the Motion Picture Relief Fund Country House and Clinic, 17 miles from Hollywood in the famous San Fernando Valley. It is also your faithful and encouraging response to the plays of the Screen Guild Players that has helped to make the Country House and Clinic possible. It is the earnest hope of the Motion Picture Relief Fund and its players that we may continue to entertain you for the benefit of those of the picture industry who may now or in the future need the comfort and service of the Country House. On behalf of these, I thank you all very much.
Consider that very, very nice, don't you, Mr. I don't believe you told me your name.
Only 7 zillion times. I'm Frank Sinatra.
Oh.
This little girl is Dinah Shore. How do you expect to put on a big special broadcast without a romantic boy and girl as a mystery to me?
Mysteries, that's what I like.
You do?
Yeah.
Ah, sweet mystery of life, at last I found you.
You know, we got the best detectives in radio on our network. Yeah. And here's a mystery so tremendous, terrific, and baffling that we're calling in all our star detectives to solve it. Listen.
Calling all stars. Calling all stars. Crime Doctor, the host of Inner Sanctum, Sam Spade, KC Crime Photographer, the Thin Man, wake up and go at once to the home of Edward Dismukes Mayhoff, wealthy sportsman whose life has been threatened. Hurry on over. If you don't hurry, it'll be all over. Over.
Yes, yes, who is it?
Dr. Ordway, the crime doctor. Let me in.
Oh, Dr. Ordway, I'm glad you're here. Read this, this note I got.
Note?
Yes, yes, they're going to kill me. They're after me. Save me. Help me, Dr. Ordway.
Please be calm, Mr. Mayhoff. Just a moment now, let me read this. Nothing you can do will save you. You will be killed tonight at midnight.
Midnight. And it's 23 minutes to 12 now. Don't let them save me. I'm too young to die.
How old are you, Mr. Mayhart?
86. 86 going on 87, I hope.
Well, I hope so, too. Now, this should be very easy to solve. First, you must answer a few questions.
Oh, anything, anything. But we must hurry. It's 19 minutes to 12. Ask me anything.
Well, first, who sent this note?
Who sent it?
Yes, it's not signed. Very untidy way of doing business. Just a note that someone's going to kill you and nothing more. No signature, no date, no corpse. Come, come, Mr. Mayhoff. I must say you're not being very cooperative.
Well, I'm sorry, Dr. Ordway. I know there should have been more clues, but I only got the note a half an hour ago. I didn't know what I was doing. My life was at stake.
A flimsy excuse.
Well, I didn't know which way to turn. I called every detective I could think of. Why aren't they here? Oh, there's somebody now. 17 minutes left. Yes, yes, who is it?
How do you do, Mr. Mayhoff? I'm Nick Charles, the Thin Man. This is my wife, Nora. Nora, darling, this is Mr. Mayhoff.
How do you do, Mr. Mayhoff? Excuse me, I'm so sleepy.
I beg your pardon, madam. This is Mr. Mayhoff. I'm Dr. Ordway. Not the crime doctor, the safe. And Nora, darling, is Dr. Ordway, the crime doctor we listen to every Sunday night.
Do we?
Yes, of course, baby. Dr. Ordway is the man who helps the police solve all those difficult crimes by brilliant deductions.
Oh, yes. But isn't it strange, Nick? He's never been able to catch Johnny breaking into those thousands of store windows he's always coming out of. So nice to see you, Doctor. Mind if I lie down? I'm so sleepy.
Not at all. I hardly knew you with your eyes open.
Please, it's 15 minutes to 12. My life is at stake. This note I got.
Note?
Yes.
What else, Mr. Mayhoff?
The note threatening my life. Dr. Ordway has it.
Here, Nick, have a look. Mm-hmm. What do you make of it? Nothing can help you. You die at midnight. Who sent this?
Who sent it? I don't know.
Don't know who sent it?
No.
No date, no signature. Come, come, Mr. Mayo.
Exactly what I told him, Nick. If people must get threatening letters, the least they can do is supply us with some clue or other.
Yes, you're so right, Dr. Ordway. Always making it as difficult as possible.
Reminds
me of the case we had a year ago last sponsor. Or was it the sponsor before that? Nora, darling, what sponsor was that?
Oh, please, Nick.
Oh, yes, it was the sponsor of 1944. It was a late autumn night. The options were just beginning to fall. We had a client like this hapless man here.
It's 13 minutes.
And this
man received
a note that he was going to be killed at 9 o'clock.
Why is it 12 o'clock?
This is Pacific Coast time for the repeat broadcast. By the way, do you ever repeat broadcast, Dr. Ordway?
Oh, yes. Yes, keeps me up frightfully late.
I'm awfully sleepy, Nicky, darling.
Oh, yes, baby. Well, anyway, when this man called me about the note, we took every precaution. We bolted the doors, barricaded the windows. We had police on every foot of ground around the apartment. Police doors, electric eyes, burglar alarms. Every precaution known to criminology was taken to see that this man would not be killed at 9 o'clock.
Yes, Mr. Charles. What happened to the man?
He was killed. But not until 10 o'clock. We had all gone home. We were dead tired. He was dead and we were tired.
Nick, darling, please.
12 minutes to 12. Won't somebody do something?
Mr. Mayoff, I'm Casey, crime photographer.
Oh, hold it.
Thank you. Look for it in the Morning Express.
Please, Mr. Casey, will you please do something? I got this note. They're going to kill me at midnight.
Midnight? Can't wait till midnight. We go to press at once. Play dead. I'll take one more.
But I don't want to lie down on the floor.
Well, take this couch.
Oh,
hello, beautiful. I'll take one of you, too.
Excuse me, Flash. I'm Nick Charles, a thin man. This is my wife, Nora.
Hello, Mr. Charles. I listen to you every Friday night. I should have known that was you lying there, Mrs. Charles.
And I'm Dr. Ordway, the crime doctor.
Well, glad to know you, Doctor. I listen to you on Sunday nights.
Thank you.
Well, won't anybody say they listen to me on Thursday nights?
Won't anybody listen to me tonight? I'm going to be killed at midnight. 11 more minutes.
Well, it's quite a gathering of the crime crad.
Quite a gathering. All we need now is Sam Spade.
My name is Sam Spade. Where's the body?
Oh, Mr. Spade, I'm so glad you came. But there's no body here.
Nobody here?
No.
What are these people doing here?
Now, Mr. Spade, my name is Dr. Ordway. This is Nick Charles and his wife, Nora. This is Casey, the crime photographer. We've all been called in on the case.
Get going, you guys. I work alone.
But, Mr. Spade, in 9 minutes, I'm going to be killed.
9 minutes? Okay, I'll be back. Have a check ready.
Well, I'll give you anything, Mr. Spade. I'll give you anything. Only save me. Here, read this note. Read it.
No notes. I want cash.
What? People, I'm going to be killed at 12 o'clock.
Well, let's get it over with. I got my own broadcast to make tonight.
Hold it. Thank you, Mr. Spade. Look for it in the Morning Express.
Reminds me of a case we had sponsored before last. Remember, Nora?
Nicky, it's late. I'm getting sleepier by the minute.
Yes, Nicky, it's 3 minutes to 12. I'm sleepy. I need... Do something for me. Do something to save me. Yes? Who is it? Come in.
Good evening, friend.
It's the host from Inner Sanctum.
What? No blood?
You're just in time.
Just in time for murder, I hope.
Don't rush me. I've still got 2 minutes.
And what's the Inner Sanctum host doing here? He's no detective. He doesn't even know enough to oil the hinges on his door.
Oh, it's Mr. Charles, the Sinatra of the Sleuths.
How do you do, Mr. Host? Dracula of the detectives, Karloff off of the killer cycles, vampire of the vacuum tubes, Bluebeard of the batteries, and tomboy of television to come?
Flatterer.
How's business down at your creek joint these Monday nights, Mr. Host?
Oh, glory be, we're killing them. Love to have you down some Monday night.
Uh-huh. Would you like me for dinner?
Uh-huh. On toast.
please, fellas, it's just a few more seconds. Can't any of you do anything? Save me! They got me!
Hold it, don't fall. Thank you. Look for it in the Morning Express.
Oh, blood. Goody.
Murder.
Well, they won't beat me here anymore.
Anything you say may be held against you.
Just a minute, Dr. Ordway. How do we know he's dead?
Get a doctor. Let's make sure the corpus is delecti.
Somebody looking for a doctor? I'm Dr. Christian.
Oh, come in, Dr. Christian. Here you every Wednesday night. How's Judy?
She's fine, thank you. And how is Mrs. Charles? Sleeping any better?
Oh, she's doing fine, thanks.
That's good. That'll be
$5.
$5? Well, that's
my...
Did
you say $5?
Yeah, that's my regular fee for calling on the sick.
What's your regular fee for calling on the dead?
I'm sorry, I don't understand.
We think your patient is dead.
So fast? I just got here.
We think he was dead before we called you.
My fee is still $5.
Well, there's a chance he may not be dead.
And if I find he's not?
He'll pay you the $5.
Here he is.
Very well. No pulse. No heartbeat. No blood.
He's dead, isn't he, Doc?
Not necessarily.
What do you mean? If a man has no pulse, no heartbeat, no blood, he's dead.
That has been disproven.
Who disproved it?
Frank Sinatra.
Give me a good chew-a-doer every time.
Dinah, baby, why do we bother with this creep? The only music he likes is Stone Cold Dead in the Market.
Listen, my thin friend, on CBS we got some of the best music in the world.
Well, now we're getting somewhere, and that's what Frank and I are here for.
Well, if you came here for good music, how about listening to Vaughn Monroe?
Vaughn Monroe? You mean the man with the muscles on his vocal cords?
That's the guy. He's on Columbia every Saturday evening, but I can get him for your wife now.
Oh, goody.
Racing with the moon, high up in the midnight blue.
It's a pleasure to be on Mr. System's Columbia Network, where we're surrounded by such good company. We're looking forward to being around these parts every Saturday night, and we've been polishing up some favorites for the occasion. Here's a little medley the Moon Maids and I would like to sing to you and to Dinah Shore, that Thin Man Frankie can relax and eavesdrop. It's only a paper moon, sailing over a cardboard sea. But it wouldn't be make-believe if you believed in me. Yes, it's only a canvas sky hanging over a muslin tree. But it wouldn't be make-believe if you believed in me. Without your love, it's a honky-tonk parade. Without your it's a melody played in a penny arcade. It's a Barnum and Bailey world, just as phony as it can be. But it wouldn't be make-believe if you believed in me. One thing
twins, how did you like Monroe's singing?
Great. And I like his doctrine, too.
May I say that may I say that I consider that much worse than Hilarious?
Now, look, Dinah and I didn't come here to amuse you. The point we're trying to make is that you need us.
Why?
There's a spot in every show ever written where a boy and a girl are at the tag end of the day at the beach. They're sitting on a bench in the moonlight waiting for the last bus home, and he says, in our little penthouse way up in the sky, with hinges on chimneys for stars to roll by, a sweet slice of heaven for just you and I.
Frankie, you know I believe in you, don't you?
Honest, honey? Gee, that gives me a lot of confidence, darling. Confidence to ask you something that, well...
Yeah? Well, listen, Frankie, and I think you know the answer.
Well, okay, honey. Put your head on my shoulder.
Okay.
That's right. Now look up at that great, big, old, knocked-out moon.
Yeah.
And I'll try to ask you what I've been trying to ask you all evening.
Yes, Frankie?
Well, here goes. Have you got bus fare home?
Just 1 minute, please. What exactly are you two doing?
We're giving you sort of a digest version of what we mean by boy and girl romance.
The only digest versions I'm interested in right now is a digest version of Ann Seven's Maisie.
Every Friday night on CBS, it's Maisie. As far as Maisie is concerned, there's nothing like a weekend vacation. And on weekend vacations, there's nothing like going fishing. And when one goes fishing, there's nothing like having fishing equipment. And when it comes to fishing equipment, Maisie has nothing. And no idea of what one uses to catch fish. So with her bus leaving in a half an hour for her vacation, our Maisie hurries down to the Potts department store to purchase the wherewithal to snare a few of our unsuspecting finny friends.
Good afternoon, miss. Can I help you?
Good afternoon. Yes, sir. I would like something to catch fish with.
Mm-hmm. Well, how about a rod?
A rod? I want to catch fish, not chew them.
Oh, that's a good way, too.
Didn't it? Well, I also need a reel and one of those cork things that float and a hook.
And how about a line?
Certainly, and you must write to me, too.
I'll do that. Now, miss, here's a nice rod that's all rigged up.
Well, it's the right shade, but it doesn't seem very strong.
Oh, but it is, miss. Just try casting with this rod.
Well, I don't mind if I do.
Just a short, gentle cast. Uh-huh. We're in a stall, remember.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Here goes. One, two, three. I think I caught something.
And you broke the front window.
Who in thunderation did that?
Oh, you caught something, all right. Mr. Potts, the owner of the store. And is he sore?
That's probably because I caught him out of season.
Who did that? Who cast that fishing rod and caught me right in the... Miss, what have you got to say about this?
I cannot tell a lie, Mr. Potts, but I'm sure going to try.
Look, Mr. Potts,
I'm going to get to the bottom of this.
Looks like I did already.
Oh, so you did it, huh? There I was, calmly checking over the window display, and you hooked me right in the middle of my inventory.
And that's such a painful place, too, I know.
And my beautiful window, a $50 window, smashed.
Yeah, but I was just trying out this fishing rod.
Young lady, what are you going to do about it?
I think I'll take the fishing rod, wrap it up.
Yes, miss, and will there be anything? No, no. I mean, who's going to pay for that broken window?
Not me. What would I do with a broken window?
Miss, you're going to pay for that window.
Well, okay, as soon as I get back from my weekend vacation.
You're going to pay for it right now, or else.
Or else what? I haven't heard a nasty laugh like that since I asked the hotel clerk for a room.
Miss, you're going to stay right here at the store and work out that $50.
Yeah, but that'll take weeks, and my bus leaves in 20 minutes.
Yes, but without you. Now get to work right at this counter, miss, and sell.
But I'm not a good sales lady, Mr. Potts. The only sales job I ever had was in a used car lot, and I was fired from that because I always asked the customer to pay the ceiling price.
Well, then you're lucky that times are such that people are buying anything, especially in the sporting goods line.
Oh, yes. Especially these $5 bow and arrow sets. They're guaranteed to hit the spot.
Well, why would people want to pay Pot $5 to hit the spot when Pepsi-Cola does it for a nickel? I don't know.
Stop with the jokes, miss. Now, if a customer wants a demonstration, just pick up the bow and arrow.
Okay, I'll try. Here goes.
Oh, no, miss. You're doing it wrong.
Oh, you're holding it backwards. Don't release that arrow. Bam! My other show window. You smashed it.
I now owe you $100, Mr. Potts. Shall we stop now, or do you want to try for $150? Goodbye.
Come back here, miss. I'm going to make you a sales girl and pay off that $100, or die trying.
You'll be sorry.
Now, let's pretend that I'm the customer. Now, here I come into the store.
Okay. And what can I do for you, sir?
I'd like to buy a mouse trap to catch a mouse.
Yes, sir. A large mouse trap or a small mouse trap?
Well, I don't really know.
Well, how large is your mouse?
Never mind. Look, I want to buy a trap. I'm in a hurry.
A hurry?
Yes, I've got to catch a train.
Oh, I don't think we have traps that large.
All right, forget it. I'll come in again. Now, here I come. Good afternoon, clerk. I'd like to buy...
I know, a mouse trap.
No. I want a bathing cap.
You want to catch the mouse or give him a shower?
Look, I want a bathing cap to swim in.
Well, you'll be much more comfortable in a pool.
Okay, okay. Now, you just sold me a bathing cap.
I did? I'm pretty good, huh?
Terrific. Now, remember, don't let the customer get away with just one purchase. Sell me everything in the store.
Okay. You now have a bathing cap, sir. How about some water wings? They're
$2. $2 for water wings? Well, isn't that rather expensive?
Yeah. You can get them across the street for a quarter.
Now, we'll try it for the last time. Now, here I come. Good afternoon, clerk.
Well, back again.
No, no, no. You've never seen me before.
I never forget a face.
Miss, I would like a bathing cap.
See, I told you were in here before.
I want a bathing cap.
Yes, sir. And how about some water wings?
No, I don't want any water wings.
I'm beginning to hate you.
The feeling is mutual. Now, look, we'll forget the bathing cap and the water wings and have you sell, say, golf clubs.
Okay, golf clubs. I said it.
Oh, don't be silly. Now, anybody can demonstrate and sell golf clubs. Anybody.
You want to bet?
Not without odds. Look, I'll give you a set of clubs in a bag. Here they are, right here.
Okay. Which end of the bag do you hit the ball with?
Now, make believe you're going to swing at that ball and then yell, four.
Like this? Four!
I said make believe! Miss Revere!
I know. I shouldn't have said four, because so far I've only broken three.
Southern is swell, isn't she, Frank?
Cert, but the point I'm trying to make to this character is that we do pretty,
Oh, Mr. Sifton, it's time for you to get ready to go on the air. Here's your script.
Does he have to have a fresh script every time he does that same old tired station identification?
You don't understand show business. Every station break is like an opening night. Please give me my cue. Millions are waiting to hear me.
Good luck, Mr. System.
Thank you.
Quiet now, everybody. Mr. System is waiting for his cue.
Looks like he's waiting to be kissed.
I must ask for absolute silence. Your microphone's ready, Mr. System.
Now?
Not yet.
But you promised.
In a moment.
You're listening to Stars in the Afternoon, the CBS preview of the best in radio. The biggest show in town will go into its third half hour after a brief pause for station identification.
Now, Mr. System.
Huh? Oh, yes, now. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Mr. System, you know, I think you're taking your work much too seriously. Why don't you do it lightly, you know, tongue-in-cheek?
Tongue-in-cheek? Gee, I wonder how that would sound. This is CBS. I wouldn't do. They wouldn't understand me.
And you don't understand me. This big show just can't go on without some boy and girl songs.
Oh, dear.
Now, I'm not talking for myself.
Peter Lynn Hayes, meet Mr. CB System.
Hello.
Hello. You mean this is the guy who's cooking up a storm for you two?
Can you imagine?
Well, let me have at him. Now, look here, Mr. System. Would you pass up the chance to have a man sing on your show who is as good as Bing Russell or Andy Crosby? Even Singing Sam, for that matter.
Willie?
Willie, he asked. Would I kid you? Listen, chum, here's how this Sinatra boy sounds. Have you a pianist? Would you give me a DiMaggio, Joe?
Laura is the face in the moon. Footsteps just as loud down the hall.
Laura, I hate to disappoint all my Bobby Sox fans, but Laura is really the chick for me. Laura was really from a wonderful family. She walked with dignity. As a matter of fact, she was a debutante. She came out last year. Of course, she still has to report twice a month to the parole board. The most enchanting thing about Laura was her delightful accent. She was a southerner, and at a social gathering such as this, I'd often say, Laura, just for fun, tell the folks where you're from. And she'd say, I'm from New Orleans. Yuck, 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 yuck. That's the way she used to talk, all over her mouth. Whenever I'm lonely, which is often lately, I can always picture Laura silhouetted against the lovely southern moonlight as my boat pulled away from the levee. There she stood in her little gingham dress with crinoline pantaloons and an Adam hat. What a character. To coin a cliche, her eyes were like limpid pools. They sort of met at the bridge of her nose, and then they crossed. Her teeth were just like pearls. They looked like a picket fence in front of a haunted house. Topping all of this in loveliness was her complexion. What a complexion. She must have used gunpowder. She was always shooting off her mouth.
That was Laura, but she's only a dream. She's only a...
That's what Frank Sinatra sounds like.
Sure is.
I knew I was right.
Thanks a lot, Mr. S. And good night.
That was very amusing, but now I'm in the mood for some romantic music.
Hey, Dinah, did you hear that?
We sold him. What would you like to hear, Mr. System? What would you like to hear?
The American Melody Hour.
American Melody.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Howard Claney speaking for the American Melody Hour. Every Tuesday evening, the American Melody Hour brings you Bob Hannon and Evelyn McGregor singing the top songs of the day, so you can know them all and sing them all yourselves. Today, Bob Hannon and the Knightsbridge Chorus, accompanied by Victor Arden, sing the beautiful love song To Each His Own.
Must remain with the sun and the rain, for its lovely promise won't come true. To each his own, to each his own, and my own is if the words just don't belong, and a dream must be a dream for two. No good alone to each his own. For me, there's you. If a flame is to grow, there must be a glow to open each door. There's a key. I need you, I know. I can't let you go. Your touch means too much to me. Two lips must insist on two more to be kissed, or they'll never know what love can do. To each his own, I found my own, one and only you. Must insist on two more to be kissed, for they'll never know what love can do. To each his own, I found my own, one and only you.
Gee, that was swell, Mr. System. Now, how's for Dinah and me singing an intimate little ditty?
Yeah.
Will you please stop talking about singing? What is singing to me? Me, a man who twat the boards with Booth, Mansfield, John Twoo, and the elder Barrymore.
So what? I twat the boards with the elder Darcy.
I must ask you to stop bickering and either listen or weave.
Listen to what?
Mr. William Keeley of the Wux Radio Theater.
Well, look, what if I don't want to listen to Mr. Keeley?
Mr. Keeley has Virginia Booth with him.
Step aside, Dinah. I'd love to listen to Mr. Keeley.
Lux presents Hollywood. For 12 years, going on 13, that theme has been your welcome to the world's most popular theater, the Lux Radio Theater, presided over every Monday night by one of Hollywood's most talented and genial personalities. Ladies and gentlemen, your producer of the Lux Radio Theater, William Keeley.
Greetings from Hollywood, ladies and gentlemen. And welcome briefly to the Lux Radio Theater. Tonight we bring you one of Screenland's loveliest stars, Miss Virginia Bruce, appearing in an excerpt from Somerset Maugham's great play, The Letter. Perhaps you remember the final scene. Leslie Crosby has admitted killing Jeff Hammond, but her trial is over and she's been acquitted, largely because a certain letter which he had written to Hammond never appeared in court. Now that she's free, her husband demands an explanation from Leslie and her lawyer of what the letter contained.
Yes, I have the letter, Robert. But I've no right to show it to you.
That letter cost me every penny I had in the world. And you tell me I can't even see it.
Let him see it, Howard.
Very well. Thank you. Leslie. Leslie, what does this mean?
It means that I was in love with Jeff Hammond.
I can't believe it.
I've been in love with him for years, ever since he came to Malaya.
Why did you kill him?
Because he changed. Because I couldn't believe that he didn't care for me anymore. I hated myself for loving him, and yet he was everything in the world to me. He was all my life.
I trusted you. I loved you.
And then I heard about the native woman he had married. He had left me for her, and I couldn't believe it. I wouldn't believe it. At last I saw her. I saw her with my own eyes, walking in the village with the bracelets and the jewels he'd given her. I wrote to Jeff and told him that I had to see him. You hold that letter in your hand. I was mad to write it. But I didn't care. I hadn't seen him for 10 days.
Hammond was rotten through and through. He always was.
We'd always been so careful. He always tore up any word I wrote to him. How was I to know he'd leave that one?
That doesn't matter now.
He came and I told him I knew about the other woman. He admitted it was true. He said he was glad I knew, that now at last I'd leave him alone. He said things to me that I thought it impossible a man could ever say to a woman. Cruel and vile. And then I don't know what happened. I seized the revolver and fired. He staggered and rushed for the veranda. I ran after him and fired again. He fell and then I stood over him and I fired and fired and fired till there were no more cartridges.
Have I deserved this of you, Leslie?
No, no. I have no excuses to offer. I betrayed you.
What shall I do now? What shall I do?
Oh, if I could only blame anybody but myself. But I can't. I deserve everything I have to... Robert, where are you going?
I don't know. There's no need for me to make an exhibition of myself here. I'm sorry.
He's going to forgive you, Leslie. He can't do without you. It's a pity you don't love him.
But I still can make him happy. I swear I'll do everything in the world to make him happy.
It's not easy to live with a man you don't love. You've had the strength and courage to do evil, Leslie. Maybe you'll have the strength and courage to do good. That will be your retribution.
No, that won't be my retribution. I can do that and do it gladly. He's so kind, he's so tender. My retribution is greater. With all my heart, I still love the man I killed.
Our thanks to Virginia Bruce for bringing us so vivid an impression of the letter.
It was a pleasure to be with you, Bill. From your first few shows, it looks as if you were off on another great season in the Lux Radio Theater.
Thank you, Virginia, and thanks for being here today. This is William Keeley, inviting all of you to be with us every Monday night when Lux presents Hollywood, its greatest plays, its greatest stars. We hope you'll join us.
That radio theater is consistently sensational, Mr. System. And as if you didn't hear this before, where would they get without romance, a boy and a girl?
Or even just a boy. If you don't let Frank Sinatra sing on your program, your attitude is plain downright ignorant.
Yes, sir. Oh, well, yes, now listen, sir. Sometimes it pays to be ignorant. Which is a very clever cue for the next program.
Unintentional.
If I have to say so myself, and I have to.
Is alimony.
Alimony is when two people make a mistake and the other continues to pay for it.
Correct. Pay that man $8. What does a bee get in flowers?
It's head and shoulders.
Correct. Pay the man $9 because...
it pays to be ignorant. This is Ken Roberts. Johnny presents that quip happy quiz program you hear regularly over CBS on Friday nights. A program that has set education back 2,000 years. It pays to be ignorant. Our board of experts consists of George Sheldon, Harry McNorton, Lulu McConnell, who are so dumb they think astronomy is something you put in a sandwich. And now I give you the star of our show, Mr. Tom Howard.
Good afternoon, ladies. ladies and gentlemen, the first question before our board of ex-jerks, I shouldn't mean experts, concerns radio. Here is the question.
Yes.
What major network is recognized by the letter CBS?
Mr. Howard, would you mind repeating the question?
I'd be glad to. What major radio network is recognized by the letter CBS?
Mr. Howard, what does the letter stand for?
That's what I'm trying to find out.
Well, why don't you call up the radio station that used those letters and ask them?
I see. Mr. Shelton, you took the words right out of my mouth.
Yeah?
You keep it a little quicker, you're taking my teeth, too.
Mr. Sheldon, do you know anything about radio?
What do you mean? I was on the radio last night. I was on the program with a beautiful blonde, but I got Mike fright.
You got Mike fright?
Mike was her husband.
Oh.
You know, Mr. Howard, I was on the radio.
Yeah?
Uh-huh. The show was at an army camp. I sang, "Darling, I am growing older."
Fine.
Mm-hmm. And you know, after the first few bars of the song, they tried to stop me.
Try to stop you from singing?
No, try to stop me from growing older.
I see.
Speaking about songs, I wrote a new song yesterday.
Yeah, what's the name of it?
Don't Put Pretzels in the Refrigerator.
That's Don't Put Bananas in the Refrigerator.
I know. I gave it a new twist.
All right. Can we please get back to the question? It's about radio.
I like to get in television.
Oh, television may be all right, but it'll never replace the old-fashioned keyhole.
Do you think I look good in television?
What part of you?
All of me.
They don't make television sets big enough to show all of you, Miss McConnell.
Is that so? Well, I've been told that my legs match Betty Grable's.
Don't be silly. They don't even match each other.
Oh, my word.
Well, what's Betty Grable got that I haven't got?
Not nothing at all. Only you've had yours too long.
Well, you can say what you want about television. It'll be a great thing, you know. Just think, you'll be able to see Jimmy Durante in your living room, Fanny Bryce in your dining room, Tom Howard in your... It'll be a great thing.
Marvelous. Mr. McGarden, what makes you so dumb?
I have friends in Washington.
I see. The question is, what major radio network is known by the letter CBS? I don't believe any of you know anything at all about radio.
What are you talking about? I told you I did. I make a living on the air.
You make a living on the air?
Yeah.
What station?
Regan Service Station down at Seabright.
I see.
I check tires.
I see. That's fine.
My old man and I are going on the radio. One of those husband and wife programs.
Oh, really? Really? Have you got a sponsor?
Yeah. Bixley's Corn Plaster.
Fine. That'll be fine. You're always corny and your old man's always plaster.
Hey, Mr. McNaughton, do you think radio is here to stay?
Well, Mr. Shelton, ours isn't.
No?
Goes back to Mises tomorrow.
All right, please. Let's get away from the silly fox. Are you going to answer the question, or must you admit that you've met your Waterloo?
Waterloo? What's that?
Waterloo, that's one of those birds that looks something like a parrot.
No. That's cockatoo.
Oh, no. A cockatoo is a small horse that cowboys ride.
That's buckaroo.
No, you're wrong, Mr. Howard. A buckaroo is not a horse. It's an animal that comes from Australia. Uh-huh. Sometimes they buck.
Wait a minute, that's kangaroo, a funny-shaped creature with a long nose, short arms, big feet, and a pouch in the front.
Now we're back to Miss McConnell again.
Gee, that was great entertainment, Mr. System. A laugh's a laugh, but we still feel there's not enough romantic singing on the radio.
We sing.
You know, your voice sounds very interesting. You might make a good announcer.
Who wants to be an announcer?
Stop arguing. Here's a little two-line announcement. Read this and put what's a oomph into it.
Okay, here goes. Look, no hands.
Gee.
Every Monday night, CBS brings you the Bob Hawke Show, featuring that fast equipmaster Bob Hawke. This afternoon, the biggest show in town brings you Bob Hawke in a more serious vein.
Thank you, Frank Sinatra, and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to light up the letters CBS and tell you what they really stand for. C stands for Columbia, and Columbia is people. People from every state in America. Main Street, Broadway, Hollywood and Vine, Brown and Elm. Yes, people from many of the nations around the great globe itself. The conductor of the famous Hour of Charm Orchestra, Phil Spitalny, was born in Russia. So was Al Goodman, maestro of the Family Hour. Artur Rodzinski, musical director of the New York Philharmonic, grew to love music in Poland and Vienna. Gene Hersholt, Columbia's Dr. Christian, came from Denmark. And Tom Howard claims County Tyrone, Ireland, as his birthplace. I could name many more stars, writers, producers, and technicians at Columbia, who brought gifts to America from lands across the borders and seas. As for those who were born in this country, well, just name your own town or city, and chances are some member of the Columbia family walked its streets or stood up to recite in its classrooms. Frank Sinatra used to be a sports reporter in Jersey City. Dinah Shore once sipped chocolate sodas in a Winchester, Tennessee drugstore. Jimmy Durante shined shoes on New York's Lower East Side. Vaughn Monroe worked in a rubber plant in Gannett, Pennsylvania. Gene Autry is no Hollywood cowboy. He actually punched cows in Tioga, Texas. And Robert McGregor Hawk, alias the fellow who's talking to you now, was born in Creston, Iowa, brought up in Weatherford, Oklahoma, and carried mail, jerked sodas, and tried to sell vacuum cleaners in Chicago. Yes, C stands for Columbia, and Columbia is people who work at the business of broadcasting just as you work in a steel mill, factory, office, on a farm, or at home. And that's what the letter B in CBS is for, broadcasting. The broadcasting not only of incomparable entertainment, but also of news, religious services, and programs that help you to understand the vital issues of an ever-changing world. For broadcasting in America is free. And free broadcasting means that you and I can hear what our different backgrounds and tastes say we want to hear. Not that there isn't room for improvement. There always is. Radio can be made richer. It can meet the growing needs of a people young and upward-reaching. And this season, and next, and the season beyond that, you can be sure that the people who make Columbia will be working to make broadcasting better under the system that represents the letter S in CBS, the American system. Thank you, and good afternoon.
Sure, I guess that just about winds up your little program, Mr. System, and don't think it's been a pleasure meeting you.
Me too, Mr. System, and I hope someday if we see each other again, I see you first.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wait a minute, friends. You're not angry.
Oh, no, we feel great.
Oh, yuck.
For an hour and a half, we've been trying to get you to let us sing, that's all.
And you want to know something? I still think you need a romantic duet.
You want to know something? You've almost convinced me you're right.
Almost?
Uh-huh.
Well, what do we have to do to really convince you?
Yes, what would convince you that you do need a romantic duet?
Well, I'd have to hear you first.
Now you're getting somewhere. How about tea for two?
Maybe wait to sing first.
Oh, this is it, Frank. Let's not fool around any longer.
I'm discontented with homes that are rented, so I have invented my own. This place is a lover's oasis where life's weary chase is unknown. Far from the cry of the city where flowers pretty caress the stream. Cozy to hide in, to live side by side in. Don't let it abide in my dreams. Picture you upon my knee, just tea for two and two for tea. Just me for you and you for me. On weekend vacations, we won't have it known, dear, that we own a telephone, dear. Day will break and you'll awake and start to bake a sugar cake. Thank you.
happy feeling when you are stealing that extra pound.
You have just heard Frank Sinatra and Dinah Shore, Jimmy Durante and Gary Moore, Ralph Morgan for the Screen Guild Players, The Family Hour, The Thin Man with Claudia Morgan and Les Damon, Bob Hawke, Blondie, Hoagie Carmichael, Vaughn Monroe and his music, House Jameson as the Crime Doctor, The American Melody Hour, Stat Cotsworth as Casey, Crime Photographer, It Pays to Be Ignorant, Sam Spade featuring Howard Duff, Gene Hirschholt as Dr. Christian, Ann Southern as Maisie, Peter Lind Hayes, and William Keeley presenting Virginia Bruce for the Lux Radio Theater. Next Sunday, you're invited to tune in your favorite CBS station for another 90-minute preview of Columbia nighttime shows for the season of 1946 and 47. With Ozzie and Harriet, Big Town, Ginny Sims, Jack Carson, Meredith Wilson, Joan Davis, Dick Hames, Gordon Jenkins, Baby Snooks and Daddy, Gene Autry, Hollywood Star Time, Academy Award, Mel Blanc, Fox Pop, Eddie Bracken, Robert Trott and Ned Calmer, Hildegard, Bill Baker, Arthur Rudzinski, and Mayor of the Town. In the Afternoon was produced and directed by William N. Robeson and Robert Louis Cheyenne. The script was written and edited under the supervision of Carol Carroll.